Ladies and gentlemen, I recently mentioned a report out of the UK Fires, a think tank there in the UK. This document called Absolute Zero, which describes across a few different industries how we will, over the course of the next few years, reduce carbon emissions and reach a net zero future, a zero emissions future, decarbonized supply chains. You've heard it described in a few different ways for years now, beginning way back when the Club of Rome talked about, we're just going to tell everyone that humanity is the enemy and we have to end human activity. It's the same thing. That was just 100 years ago. And so now it looks like this. It looks like the UN saying we're in a race to zero carbon emissions. New presidents coming in saying, yeah, I'm going to rejoin the Paris Agreement and we're going to have net zero emissions by 2050. But what does it mean? What does that look like? If you ask The Guardian, who, by the way, is on board with the agenda, they're one of the consultants with the WEF. They're basically the propaganda marketing arm of the net zero emissions agenda. In their view, which is basically a sales pitch and should be pretty attractive, even then it looks terrible, but let's at least afford them a chance to give us their propagandist pitch here. Landscapes from coast to coast would be transformed, carpeted in wind turbines and solar panels with enough new transmission lines to wrap around the Earth 19 times. You know, sounds great. The populace would whiz past in their electric cars to and from homes equipped with induction stoves for cooking and heat pumps for heating. The air, though, the air would be pristine. It's an appealing vision, according to Eric Larson at Princeton. In general, it will be a more pleasant place to live once we get to net zero emissions. Cleaner air, which seems to be their only selling point, and we will have done everything we can to avoid disastrous climate change. Well, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I want to suggest to you, and I want to do so by looking at the Absolute Zero report and the various industries they mention, as well as correlating that with news right now, because this is all going forward in real time. All of these things are lurching forward. It is a blitzkrieg of just pure economic onslaught across all of these vectors, but it's not building towards a clean air, pristine future like Princeton man would have you believe. No, it's one of global totalitarian fascist communist state with total surveillance from above, from below, where we're forced to eat bugs. We own nothing, but we're happy anyway, right? In the WEF's own propaganda. That's what they tell us. You're going to own nothing. You're going to eat bugs and lab-grown meat, clean meat. You're going to upcycle food that was food waste, and you're going to eat that too now. It's a circular economy. There's no such thing as garbage. We just turn it into something else now. You're going to have a social credit score based on how well you perform if you take your vaccines and if you don't throw away too much food and based on all that surveillance. And if you do your Sunday worship of Gaia, then maybe you'll get a little bit of fake meat this week, some of the Soylent Green. Otherwise, sorry, this is not pristine air. This is a terrible totalitarian state, one that has been envisioned for longer, even than the Club of Rome has been around, and they're building it now, and we need to understand this. So let's take a look at these industries, and let's talk about what's going on right now. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. And the first area we're going to look at is cars. In the next 10 years, what they call the Decade of Action, where we'll meet the UN's Sustainable Development Goals, and you might feel a bit of vertigo due to the rapid change. Their words, not mine. We read that on road vehicles, development of petrol diesel engines stops. There will be no more gas cars. Any new vehicle introduced from now on must be compatible with Absolute Zero. Well, this, of course, is already happening. Governor Newsom last year said that we're going to ban any gas-powered cars starting in 2035. That was a California initiative, which is spreading both to other states, like Oregon, where they're now talking about ending diesel fuel sales by the end of this decade of action, by 2030. Note that that would also affect tractors and all farm equipment, not just cars. But it's also going at the federal level. We now read that U.S. Senate and House both have a bill proposed to ban sales of gas-powered cars by 2035. The agenda isn't just words from a think tank. It's going live now in the United States and indeed around the world. UK, Boris Johnson already said we're going to ban gas cars by 2030. The German government, same thing. Lo and behold, it's the same all around the world. This is a template. All of these things we'll talk about tonight are a template for how we're going to reach these goals across each of these industries. German government also banning cars. In fact, rather than go through each of them, because there is a long list here, Austria, Belgium, Canada, China, even China, although they're still researching their own timetable, has committed to eliminating gas-burning cars in the future. Costa Rica, Denmark, Egypt, France, Germany, Iceland, India, Ireland, Israel, goes on and on. All of these countries, in unison, of their own national willpower. No, it's a global agenda. It's a global agenda being implemented by all of these countries at the same time. Now, Biden is also coming in and saying, we're going to start buying a ton of electric vehicles. We're going to replace the entire U.S. government fleet with EVs. Of course, that's going to put tremendous strain on the grid, but never mind the details. We don't want to worry about that. We'll just ignore that. Just buy the electric vehicles. And in fact, I wanted to mention that both South Korea as of last year and Costa Rica as of this year have already banned gas-powered vehicles. So this is going live rapidly. If you look out past the decade of action, from 2030 to 2049, all new vehicles are electric. The average size of cars gets smaller. We're going to reduce them to about 1,000 kilo. And then once we hit 2050, this absolute zero, no carbon emissions, road use will be at 60% of 2020 levels. Well, nobody mentioned that. We're going to cut out almost half of our driving? We're just going to stop that? How does that happen? Well, here's the small cars. Nissan and Mitsubishi are already launching these little frumpy electric. Now, this is a car that weighs less than 1,000 pounds. We're already socially engineering people that way, releasing those products, getting people acclimated to the idea of tiny little electric vehicles. And then as far as reducing the distance that people drive, what better way than to put a tax on it? The new Secretary of Transportation is out there talking about a VMT, vehicle miles traveled tax, which will tax you by the mile. I'm sure it will start small just to help with Biden's tremendous infrastructure plan, and then it's the kind of thing they can ratchet up over time, just like all of the things we've been talking about on food production. They love these throttles so that they can gauge the efficacy of how it's working, how people are reacting, whether people are complying. And as they get more and more buy-in, and as they want to ratchet it up even further, they pull that throttle, raise the tax, force people to move closer to their jobs or use the train or something else. In fact, using the train is the ultimate goal of this whole thing. The World Economic Forum, needless to say, is on board with the idea of decarbonizing our vehicles. They've been talking about electric fleets of EVs, but they've also been saying that there's a problem here, and that's that even once you have an electric vehicle, they're still being charged by electricity that comes from somewhere, and that might be some emissions there. So they say that's why we also have to stop driving 40% of the time. So they are speaking out of both sides of their mouths, telling that you can go buy an EV, that's the way of the future, but you also have to stop driving. It's amazing how they'll tell you both things at the same time. Okay, the next industry here is rail. Like I said, this is where they want to push you out of the cars. From 2020 to 2029, over this next decade, they're going to be standing up the new infrastructure, these new rails, especially in the US, where we've kind of just let our rail infrastructure go by the wayside compared to a lot of other countries. So 2020 through 2029, the decade of action, involves then a reinvestment into the railways, growth in domestic and international rail, as a substitute for air travel and for low occupancy car travel. Let's look at, is that actually happening right now? Yeah, you better believe Biden is in, and Biden wants you out of your car and onto the train, according to Wired. The president's, yesterday, right? Again, folks, this is all happening now, rapidly. This is a real-time war that's being waged against all human economic activity and against you and me. That's why I'm talking about it now. The president's $2 trillion infrastructure proposal boosts funding for buses and rails. It actually envisions tearing down freeways because they're racist and we're going to reduce your vehicle miles traveled anyway, right? Could Joe Biden spark a second great railroad revolution? The answer, yes. Amtrak has just laid out a new expansion protocol based on those infrastructure dollars. Quote, Amtrak on Wednesday, again, yes, this is just now, this week, released a proposed map that details their new and expanded rail service, including brand new stations in Phoenix, Las Vegas, Nashville, Columbus, assuming they can get funding from this new infrastructure bill. Here is a picture from Amtrak of their new routes that they're adding, depicted in light blue. Please pay special attention to the routes they're adding, the light blue lines. Down here in the southwest from Vegas down to Phoenix, this is a new area that Amtrak is servicing. The Fort Collins down to Colorado Springs and Pueblo, that's a new mountain range area that they're adding there. The Texas Triangle, Fort Worth, Dallas, down to Houston and San Antonio and Austin, that's a new area they're reinforcing there. And so on and so forth, going further east, look at Chattanooga and Birmingham. You know, this map reminds me a lot of the emerging mega regions map that came out of the America 2050 project, a couple of think tanks put together when they were describing how we can increase biodiversity in the name of Agenda 2030 and shove people into the smart cities. Amtrak, this is their new map. The new Biden infrastructure package is funding the creation of the railways that are bespoke for the America that they want to create. This is it. They are creating the smart cities and kicking people off the land. I want you to see that they're building the future they described in Agenda 2030 and now Agenda 2050, right? It's all out there. It's all being executed rapidly. Should the government invest in high-speed rail because of the pandemic? We need a new railway because we have to recover from this pandemic. You can see they're going to sell it using whatever they can. And who are the people that are invested in these rail companies? Well, Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett bought BNSF, one of the main rail transports companies in the past. He called it an all-in wager on the economic future of the U.S., but it looks to me more like he knew, because he's buddies with all the other billionaires in the World Economic Forum, that they were going to get rid of air travel and of shipping and of cars, and that trains would be all that was left. So he buys it up. Who owns the Canadian railway? None other than Bill Gates. Somehow these billionaires are all positioned to benefit from a pivot to rail transportation. The other Canadian railroad that Bill Gates doesn't own, there's sort of a duopoly there, has just purchased, this is, look, March 21st, just now, has just purchased Kansas City Southern. It's a $25 billion rail freight deal, which, in their own words, would unite two of the major North American freight carriers for the first time, linking Canada to American to Mexican freight on rail. What did we just say we were going to do here? We are growth in domestic Amtrak and in international, this new international rail shipping as a substitute for flights and low occupancy car travel. So they're doing it. They're executing on these goals. So let's keep looking ahead. After 2030, further growth with expanded network for all electric trains. Rail is now the dominant mode for freight as shipping declines. And then once we hit 2050, absolute zero, yeah, it's all electric trains. That's it. So what is Amtrak? And how did they get in this position of now becoming the official mode of transportation for everything? Well, we can read straight from their own company profile in 2019 that Amtrak is a federally chartered company. It's started by the government, guys, with the federal government as the majority stockholder. It is the federal government. Amtrak is owned by the government. This is a nationalization of transportation. It's a state-run transportation network. Amtrak has a board of directors. They're appointed by the president. Amtrak also gets funding from multiple states and from the government. It is the government. This is a state-run transportation network that Biden is about to completely fund the rebuilding of their new routes, which codify the map of the future that they've been talking about in those think tanks. So rail is being turned into the official mode of transportation. The next area is flight. Based on what I just said, as you would expect, there's a big red circle. We're getting rid of it. We're going to get rid of air travel. But wait a minute. Rich people love air travel. No. They get to still travel. It's only you. You don't get to travel. John Kerry, after all, the climate czar, made that abundantly clear when on his private jet to receive an award for being climate czar, he said, "Well, obviously, this is the only choice for someone like me. The only guy can travel by private chartered flights, and I will continue to do that I'm sure, into the future. But you and I, ladies and gentlemen, no, those airports are going to be shut down. Literally, that's what this says. All airports, except for the major ones, are closed. You can now transfer by rail. After 2030, yeah, the rest of them, all remaining airports closed. And by 2050, zero carbon emissions. Done. Because we stopped. That's pretty easy, wouldn't it? Now, you might be surprised to hear that airlines themselves have actually signed on to this. They said, we're going to go net carbon emissions by 2050. Now, of course, they're trying to pivot from jet fuel, which is all combustion, to something called SAF, sustainable aviation fluid, fuel. That is animal fats, vegetable oils, forestry residue, and garbage. Yeah, you heard me right. We're going to have airplanes flying around fueled by garbage. Only that only gets us 80% of the way, so we're still going to have to add some carbon capture technology. It's going to be really expensive, but that's all right. It's going to be passed on to you. Airbus is actually working on something beyond this SAF, which is now a safe form of hydrogen, and they hope to have it ready by 2035. Hydrogen-fueled passenger planes. It's on this hydrogen technology that the World Economic Forum has placed their bets for what zero carbon air travel might look like once we figure it out, sometime in the future, once you're used to being a slave. But I thought that this was a very interesting passage down here. In fact, I'll just blow it up. The well-sequenced combination of new technologies will afford the aviation industry a much-needed opportunity to protect its social license to operate in an increased awareness around carbon emissions age. And this tells you everything you need to know about the zero carbon future. Everything is over. It doesn't matter if we've done farming and ranching or air travel or wood stoves, whatever. All of these things, they have lost their license to operate. It's now the new normal. It's now the age of awareness of carbon emissions, and the only way you can do anything, you are guilty until presumed innocent, and the only way you can be presumed innocent is if the UN or the World Economic Forum signs off on you being zero carbon. That's the only way you get your social license to operate back. Farming and ranching? Sorry, it's dirty and antiquated. Air travel? Dirty. Antiquated. Shipping? Cars? No, we don't do it that way anymore. That was before we became aware of carbon. Welcome to the future as envisioned by the UN and the World Economic Forum, and even the Club of Rome going way back, right? We've talked about the history. Now we're talking about the future they want to build for us, and it's a nasty one. Shipping. Again, as we mentioned, because rail is going to be taking over all shipping, you already know we're going to see a big red circle here once they shut down shipping. This is part of the reason they've invented this whole shutdown of the Suez Canal, is so they can point at it and say, and they are, right? They've been pointing, hey, look at this. It looks like there's a ship stuck in the Suez Canal. That's not going to work ever again. Shipping just, it doesn't work. Our supply chains are too vulnerable, according to many analysts. Even in the hours after the ship got stuck, all of this media was there across tons of different outlets printing the same exact things. Oh, someone somewhere says, we're going to need to rethink logistics completely because of that one ship that got stuck. Yeah, this is problem, reaction, solution. They're going to point at that and tell us that this is why we're shutting down shipping. Never mind that the World Economic Forum and others have been talking for years already about how shipping industry needs to be radically changed, it needs to be decarbonized, and maybe there'll be some ancillary benefits if we just stop doing things that way. In fact, they say, you know, Paris Agreement didn't even include shipping. We neglected to consider that somehow, but don't worry, we put together a new thing called the International Maritime Organization, and we got industry stakeholders, a bunch of people together, to make this full decarbonization of the shipping industry possible. But we're going to need zero emission vehicles by 2030 to start coming online, viable ones, so that by 2050 we might still have some shipping using these new zero emissions vehicles. So the World Economic Forum sees things a little differently. By the way, the World Economic Forum is the people. These are the partners behind the getting to zero coalition. Global Maritime Forum and the World Economic Forum, not to mention all these major shipping companies, and of course big banks are on this list too. This is an extensive list of oil companies, BP, Chevron, and in fact they're being motivated by this organization behind the World Economic Forum. It's called the Poseidon Principles Group. It is a group of 11 leading banks jointly representing approximately $100 billion in loans coming together to establish the Poseidon Principles. Well, why? What are they doing? Well, according to them, in their own words, we read here, it's important that banks play an active role in transitioning towards a greener future and reducing the carbon emissions of shipping. That's the whole thing here, right? As a long-standing lender to the global maritime industry, we're really interested in these Poseidon Principles so that we can combat climate change. So you just read right here, the banks, we're the people that have the money for the big shipping companies who operate on credit. They will shut down without us to give them our dollars, and we're not going to give them dollars unless they stop the carbon. You see, they're holding them hostage. It's the same thing we heard from Christine Lagarde over at the European Central Bank when she said, we should really evaluate climate in our ECB policies. We shouldn't give loans to companies that are dirty and antiquated. It's the same rhetoric across all of these lines. We're going to hold you hostage. We're not going to give you capital unless you play by our rules. We're also hearing on the shipping front about smart ports, the need to use AI and computer vision to totally take over the inventory of all these shipping companies, track all resources across the supply chain, right? Same verbiage as Agenda 21. We want to know about all supplies everywhere on Earth. Smart ports are not new. This is something about which Deloitte has been writing for years. It's something that's been invested in by big shippers like Maersk, who's also on the list of people signing up for net zero. It's one integrated agenda, all these big companies playing together. And there are some other software organizations that are way ahead of this. Here from smartports.tv, which was a conference about smart ports. They even make the case that, hey, if you've got smart ports, you've got smart cities. You can see this. It all ties together. This is a master plan that's being implemented rapidly, right under your nose, right now. And if you don't want to sign on to a future of complete slavery, you got to understand this, and you got to spread the word, and we got to build something else. Here's just, you know, the shipping shutdowns like the Suez Canal. All of these things people are going to point out and say, boy, we really need smart ports because we have all of this shipping congestion because of the pandemic, and shipping, it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work. We need trains. So they're setting the stage there. Let's move on. Heating and appliances. In the rest of this decade, we're going to be replacing gas boilers with electric heat pumps. Now, this is something that's already started happening. Berkeley was the trailblazer when they said there will be no new homes built or anything built with natural gas. It's all electric from here on out. And if the power grid goes down, sorry. You get cold. Everything is going to depend on their power grid because they call it clean power. We'll see this over and over today. They were just the first many Bay Area municipalities have jumped on the bandwagon also and said, that's right, no new construction will have natural gas from here on out. You can hear from, again, April 2nd. This is yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, National Geographic says, hey, gas, heat, and stoves are warming the climate. Should we ban them? We're pretty good at that. We can just ban them and get rid of it altogether. And that becomes particularly important of the fact that when you look further out to 2050, heating is powered on for only 60% of today's use. We're going to materially reduce the amount of heat that you are allowed to use. Now, even setting aside the climate for a second, this is just a weird thing to do, right? This would seem to damn some set of people to being cold. But this is particularly true in light of the fact that we know the sun's output has dropped. Even NOAA's own numbers admit that the future is a colder one. And so, given global cooling, the idea that we're just going to turn off our heaters would seem to be a very bad plan. But again, who let that guy in here? We don't want to hear about facts and logic. We only want to hear about how we're making you our perfect slaves. So sorry to actually get in the way there. And I'm going to interrupt myself to share this new piece that came out today as I edit this video together, reinforcing everything we're talking about and underscoring the real-time nature of these narratives and of these agendas and new regulations. All of this is just rushing forward in real time. It's happening now as we speak. So from the Daily Mail, homeowners will have to put up with central heating that is 10 degrees cooler. We're going to use less heat if we're going to hit climate change targets. The government has set a goal of hundreds of thousands of heat pumps to be installed each year. And they go so far as to say that while the UK is now halfway to reaching its target of zero emissions, this next stage, it's going to get personal. You're going to have to make some personal changes to the way you travel, to the way you heat, and now you're going to turn down your heating by 10 degrees. Someone already remarked, we need to figure out how we can do this without freezing out the elderly population. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Get that guy out of here. We want to hit our targets. We're going to shut it all down. So the World Economic Forum, of course, always is on board with this. They say that we're going to do to natural gas what we've done to coal. We're going to make it dirty and antiquated and a barbarous relic, and we'll do that with our new clean energy, right? The sea, as you can see here, the seas of solar panels and wind turbines and the 19 times around the earth worth of electrical wires, that's our clean energy future. It's laughable. It's laughable. And of course, you know, needless to say, wood stoves are just, they're gone. They're dead out. The EPA has already been moving the goalpost as far as what kind of emissions are allowed from wood stoves. They talk about how the particulate emissions are terrible. The UK is doing the same thing, taking away bit by bit what you're allowed to put into your wood stoves, what kind of pellet stoves you're allowed to have. So it's fair to say that over time, you just won't even be allowed to have a wood stove anymore. Now, the next industry is food. And obviously, that's one about which I talk very consistently and exhaustively here on the Ice Age Farmer broadcast. So I'll be relatively brief tonight. But it is worth mentioning that even on the UK's absolute zero plan that we're taking apart line by line right now, they specify national consumption of beef and lamb drops by half in the next 8 years before 2030. By half. And then by 2050, beef and lamb will be phased out completely. And fertilizer use, remember this too, fertilizers will be phased out as well. Now, of course, the true agenda here is much bigger than just the absolute zero document. We know that the Eat Lancet Commission produced their planetary health diet. It was endorsed by the World Economic Forum and by the UN. It mostly describes a plant-based diet. And that they are saying that we've got to do this, right? The Eat Lancet Commission said in 2019, before COVID, that food was the single strongest lever to optimize human health on the one hand and environmental sustainability on the other. And now that we have these two existential crises, a pandemic, which is a human health crisis, and the climate emergency, as declared by the Club of Rome, well, these two crises, we have to pull that lever to take control over food. We have to take control over the means of production of food. We have to change your diet, and we even have to take control over where you throw away your food waste. It's all got to be recycled into our circular economy. We're going to have you eating upcycled trash from here on out. All of these things are being implemented now. Forbes is telling us that the planetary health diet, this vegan-style dietary restrictions, will save the planet. Pat Brown, the CEO of Impossible Foods, is out there running around with his no cows shirt on, just like the agenda told us, we're going to get rid of beef. He's funded to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars by Bill Gates, who's also out there saying we need to stop eating real meat and move to synthetic clean meat, just like clean energy. It's these, everything else is dirty and antiquated. We now have clean, lab-grown, synthetic, disgusting meat. And it's working, right? It's working. We took a look at how the U.S. meat production is falling almost double digits year over year in 2020. We see pieces like this. Will Ireland sacrifice its sacred cows to meet climate change targets? Farming is going to be really hard hit by radical changes to meet the emissions by 2030 targets. What is this radical transformation going to look like? Well, the big number one, the first thing they mention, agriculture. 35% of emissions And how are we going to do it? Well, we will reduce the national herd, they said. Reduce the national herd. The Irish Farmers Association was quick to point out, guys, there is no national herd. They can't just say, it doesn't make sense to say we're going to reduce the national herd. It's a herd made up of hundreds of thousands of individual farming families. What are you going to do to make sure that they keep farming if you take away their cows? What are you going to do to replace their lost income? Wait a minute. Who let Paul O'Brien in here with his facts and logic? We already said we don't want that nonsense in here. What are we going to eat if we stop? No, get him out of here. This is our agenda. We're talking about carbon emissions. We don't want to think about anything other than our targets and how we get there. In the U.S., I've mentioned in the past, they've got a bill now to eliminate all animal operations in 20 years. Obligatory statement. I hate the CAFOs. They're disgusting. They're bad for the animals. They're bad for us. They're bad for everything. They're just terrible. They should never have been invented. But the play here that's being done, as it is in other areas that we're seeing, is they do something disgusting. They create these CAFOs and they shove tons of animals in and put them on antibiotics. But then they point at their own creation and they say, look at this. This is terrible. We have to do away with animal agriculture altogether, and you're no longer allowed to keep your chickens in your backyard. So they create a disgusting straw man, and then they use that to get rid of all animals, even regenerative agriculture and holistically managed, you know, the way that we've always kept animals. Traditional animal husbandry is being criminalized right now. It's happening in the Colorado Paws Act. It's happening in the UK where they're gassing people's chickens. It's happening all over. It's happening in Australia from Bloomberg. March, just now. This is all now. Sorry, steak lovers. Australia is running out of cows. Running out of cows. That's what it means when I say our breeding herd is way down for pigs. Our cattle placements are plummeting. We're running out of cows. And of course, they are, because Australia was put onto this specific dietary agenda here. You can see Australia, gradual adoption of the healthy diets from the Eat Lancet Commission, there at the bottom, means that by 2050, we will basically cut out 91% of our red meat, 67% of monogastric meat. We're going to get rid of 63% of sugar. Yo, yeah, you're going to get a lot of those candy bars, not going to be on the shelves anymore. Again, big deal. These are just some academics in their ivory tower at their think tanks. This doesn't have anything to do with reality, right? Surely policymakers don't believe this. They are the policymakers. Here you can see Dr. Sandro De Maio, who used to be, in fact, look at the tweet below. You can see he's being called out. Hey, you used to be the CEO of Eat, who published the Eat Lancet Vegetarian Diet. Now that you're the CEO of Victoria Health, the head of the health department of the state of Victoria in Australia, are you going to keep pushing your extreme vegan agenda? Of course you are, right? Of course. It's a revolving door between states and countries and the World Economic Forum and the UN and all of these think tanks. So these aren't some crazy academics out on the sidelines saying things. This is an integrated group of multinationals and globalists who is both making these ideas and setting policy. It's extremely dangerous. I just wanted to see you. I wanted you to see it's the same people in the government as writing this kind of stuff that we're looking at. Okay, so that's food. Also notice that the total energy required to transport food is reduced to 60%. This ties into the Rockefeller Reset the Table agenda, which talks about local food hubs, whereby you reduce the amount of distance that food has to travel. And then on the fertilizer, they said, we're going to stop using fertilizer. Greenpeace has already started calling for the cessation of use of nitrogen fertilizers. The Netherlands is already talking about nitrogen, excessive nitrogen. So they're ahead of us on that one. And then I've spoken at great length about the fact that the FDA is putting in new requirements that will require producers to have the exact GPS coordinates of every piece of lettuce. This is the kind of regulatory stuff that will go in to put normal farms out of business. Traditional farming and ranching won't be economically viable in a world run by the technocrats, who are telling us their stated goal is to end animal agriculture. They will ensure that that happens. Maybe they won't even make it completely illegal. It'll just be so prohibitively expensive that no one will be able to do it. It will only be the automated, robotic, AI-driven bug farms and indoor vertical farms, which Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates have been funding. Right? That's why it's the same people across the board that will be able to sell their food. And one final point on this part is the food waste. This is why you've seen China deploy cameras with facial recognition on their garbage cans, so that if you're spotted throwing away too much food waste, you can be penalized for that, and your social credit score will suffer, and you might not even be allowed to buy that much food ever again. Maybe you won't get meat next week because you threw it away last week. This is a very pernicious and dangerous thing, but it's being described everywhere. Now let's move on to this next set, which I've sort of lumped into a section about materials because they all share a theme, and that theme is the circular economy. Mining, production of materials like cement, construction, and manufacturing, all of these things are not going to happen anymore. We're not going to do it that way anymore. We're not going to get new steel. We're going to recycle more steel. You can literally see that here in the construction lane up to 2029. New steel will be replaced by recycled steel. It's now there's no more anything. Just what we have now put into the circular economy. Loop it all around. Now this is one area, in fact this is the one area, where Bill Gates said in a recent interview he's concerned. He's concerned we might not meet our emissions targets in manufacturing and in heavy industry. And that is why he and the World Economic Forum have launched Mission Possible to take action across heavy industry and transport. This ties into the shipping one we mentioned earlier, where we don't yet have any shipping that doesn't have emissions. So here you go. The World Economic Forum is launching this based on the UN's work. Everything is based on the UN and the Club of Rome before us. And it is initially funded, this Mission Possible, by Bezos and Breakthrough Energy. Bezos, obviously Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world behind Amazon, and Breakthrough, which was funded by Bill Gates. So mercifully, we have Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates volunteering their philanthropy to really help the Earth crack this difficult nut of how we can do shipping and heavy industry and construction. Bill Gates is already out there with some of these projects, like hundreds of mirrors. This is literally, you can read right here, this is the size of 100 football fields of 40,000 mirrors being very precisely aimed using artificial intelligence to capture the sunlight and boil some water at the center of it to turn a turbine. This is the most expensive way to turn a turbine, you can imagine, but it has no emissions. And so this is how they'll be powering a mine now in California, is using one of these massive arrays of mirrors to boil water. This is a Bill Gates sponsored project to prove of concept to demonstrate that we can still run industry without having carbon emissions. Now looking back at this, I want to draw your attention again to the fact that the word recycling comes into play over and over here. Recycling steel, recycling other materials, trying to do so more efficiently. Again, you would expect this based on the fact that they're all talking about the circular economy. Closing the loop, making sure we're not going to mine any new materials, so we have to get really good at identifying and recycling them. Now, who would do that? Well, it would be the waste management companies, wouldn't it? That's how we would, as the World Economic Forum puts it, we would move towards a world without waste if the waste management companies had to completely change their business. I don't know if they have any economic incentive to do that. Oh, they do, actually, because they're owned by the same, so again, it's the same players. Bill Gates is the majority shareholder in the biggest waste management company in the world, Waste Management. He's also one of the biggest shareholders in Republic Waste Management, the second biggest waste management company in the world. Carlos Slim is a big shareholder in Republic Waste Services. Together, here, look at this, from 2016, new recycling facility is coming to Dallas. Within the next 2 months, a Spanish firm owned partially by Bill Gates, George Soros, and Carlos Slim will be starting a new recycling facility in Dallas. Ladies and gentlemen, these billionaires don't have garbage fetishes. They're not just passively interested in waste management companies. They want control over this part of the circular economy. They know they had to buy out the waste management companies to be able to exercise the control over them to get them to completely change the way they're doing business. And they are. The city now of Dallas is partnering to let this Bill Gates, George Soros, Carlos Slim owned Spanish company build a private facility on public land. Dallas will then pay FCC to operate that recycling facility. That was 5 years ago. I checked into it. The facility is still there. It's running. And in fact, right now, it's highly technology driven. You can see here, they are now providing real-time, personalized, hyper-local recycling information through Facebook. So they've been doing exactly what they told us they're going to do. They're creating smart trash or smart recycling because they know they need to take everything apart. That's why they've got you trained now to throw things into the green bin and the brown bin and the black bin, and they're going to fine you if you do it wrong. It's why they've got the smart garbage cans in China that watch your social credit score. We talked about that because they need all of this material to be recycled very precisely if they're going to deliver on their zero carbon emissions circular economy promises. And that's what they're doing. Same players there. Plastic is one that's pretty obvious. It was also mentioned on these materials here. There's obviously lots of places that have already started banning single-use plastic and plastic bags. We have lapsed a little bit of on that during the pandemic, but you can rest assured they'll be making that distance up in the near future here. Quote, if the mountain of proposed legislation is any indication, lawmakers are increasingly primed to crack down on plastic. Yeah, they are, because it's part of the agenda. They're banning plastic bags. They're banning plastic spoons and plastic plates. This is going now. This is today, April 2nd, 2021. I'm telling you, it's all happening now. That's why this conversation is an urgent one. I know this is a long video. I apologize. There's a lot. It's a big agenda. To completely enslave the entire population takes a lot of work. So we need to have this conversation. And the World Economic Forum is, of course, leading the charge, telling us that we have to get rid of plastic. Today, it's because it's sexist. I don't really understand why. It looks like the transition to circular economy for plastics must go hand in hand with building plastic that is inclusive and gender equal. I just don't get it. It's one area I don't understand. I don't have the willpower to look into it. Here's where that plastic is going. It's mostly going into packaging. That's why, as you would expect, they are talking a lot about carbon neutral packaging, sustainable packaging. That's why you have Bill Gates funding companies like Appeal, who has created a artificial skin for fruits like apples and avocados that will help them stay longer without having to use plastic. And that's just one area that I'm familiar with because it's in food, of the way that they're getting rid of plastic. All right, and then the final lanes here are for electricity and for fossil fuels. For electricity, wind and solar supplies grow as rapidly as possible. And for fossil fuels, a rapid reduction in supply and use of all fossil fuels. And they go on to say that by 2050, there's that big red dot again, all fossil fuels will be completely phased out. As usual, California is a little bit ahead of the game. We talked a lot about this when we were looking at the cars and how countries around the world, many of them, are putting dates where they will phase out the sale of gas-powered cars. California has gone a step farther and said, we're going to take away your gas-powered chainsaws and your lawnmowers and your weed eaters, all of your gas-powered garden tools Those aren't going to be allowed either. You're going to have to make do with electric-powered ones. But it was France, actually, that is the first country on Earth to say that we will ban all gas and oil production by 2040. They're the very first country. Now, it's kind of an empty statement because 99% of their oil and gas is imported, but it is still, they're setting the stage. They're putting that, planting that flag, and other countries will start following suit. So this is also moving forward here. Now, there's a few areas that are not mentioned on the swim lanes of the Absolute Zero document. And I want to add a few things here just to add some color and talk about what else is being done as part of this agenda. For one, the World Economic Forum is all over water. A lot of people, I mean, they've just turned this into a tradable commodity, which is how you create financialization of any asset, which leads to shortages. But the World Economic Forum has multiple water projects, including a global water initiative, which is sponsored by players like Dow, the Coca-Cola company, Nestle, the biggest food company in the world, PepsiCo. Again, these are the same players that have their name on the food track. And the Rockefeller Reset the Table agenda. It's the same national, same multinational companies perpetrating the same scam on all of these vectors. Water is bound to be an issue that drives a lot of these conversations going forward. If not, literally, we have resource wars over it. In fact, just this past week, the federal government decided to reduce the allocation of water to farmers in the Central Valley of California to 0%. To 0%. They cut off the water to the farmers in California's Central Valley. They said that they were going to cut it to 5%, but even that is on hold, pending to see if we can actually even give you 5%. Now, there are quotes from farmers who say, I'm going to have to let all my asparagus die. I've got 200 acres of trees that are going to die because I don't have a well. I depend on this water. It's a real travesty what's going on. And of course, this will carry over into food prices for the entire nation, and that will flow into the entire world. Food prices rising rapidly. Smart cities is another area that that document didn't address. But again, the World Economic Forum is all over this, talking about how we need more of these pioneer cities who are charting a course towards perfect surveillance, towards more ethical and responsible future, as they call it. But what this is of course, herding people into the surveilled cities with their smart sewers and their satellite surveillance. They want people in the smart cities. The World Economic Forum has also been warning us about this looming, inevitable global cyber pandemic, which is going to take down the grid. And in the words of Klaus Schwab himself, it's going to be much, much more impactful than COVID-19. It will bring our way of life to an end. It's astounding that he gets up and says words like this and people don't take notice. So this will be yet another way of flogging the population until they submit to the totalitarian measures that we've been hearing about in the previous sections. Another thing that they don't mention that I think is important to add to this list is the climate tracing, the surveillance from above that was introduced by Al Gore last year. Time magazine was so bold that they even went so far as to call it the climate cop. They're admitting that this is the enforcement arm. If you have one tree too many, one cow fart too many, one smokestack unlicensed, whatever it is, we're going to see it from our global network of satellites using machine learning and infrared imaging, and we're going to track your emissions in real time everywhere. So if anyone does any of those things, if you do anything you're not allowed to do, we're instantly going to know, and we're going to send our climate cops, our green police, out to shut you down. Literally, this is the enforcement arm of the net zero carbon emissions totalitarian takeover. You really start to see the teeth underneath this agenda. The iron fist underneath the velvet glove of save the world from global warming. No, this is this is perfect control and surveillance of all human activity and economic activity on the planet. That's the surveillance from above. The surveillance from below is the biobots in the sewers watching wastewater, looking through human sewage to find people that are still eating diets they shouldn't be. We got a meat eater in Sector 5, right? They're looking for, they claim that they're looking for epidemiological trends. We can find COVID outbreaks in neighborhoods by looking in your sewage. But again, ladies and gentlemen, just, it's ridiculous. You've got satellites, eyes in the sky. You've got biobots below looking through your sewage. You've got cameras in the trash cans with facial recognition. If you don't recognize this as a perfect surveillance state, this channel is not for you, and we can move on. So now, stepping back and returning to what they described at the outset here, what does it look like if we get our way? What does it look like if we have a zero emissions future? It's not an appealing vision at all, is it? It is a totally nightmarish, dystopic surveillance state, a global fascist, communist, totalitarian regime unlike anything this world has ever seen. Completely inhuman, an anti-human agenda, the realization of Agenda 2030, perfect resource awareness, AI plus blockchain, supply chains, tracking everything and all human activity at all times in real time. This is not a world that I want to live in, ladies and gentlemen, and it's certainly not one that I am willing to leave to my children. So I ask you, now that we've had this conversation, now that we've looked at the language they're using, but understood the meaning underneath, to help me spread the word about what's going on and bring a stop to these technocrats. We cannot allow this to go on. We cannot allow them to take control over our food supply and take our animals and our gardens away from us. We are forever slaves if we depend on them for any of this stuff. So thank you for listening. I know this is a lot of information. I wanted it to be an exhaustive look through the different vectors that this zero carbon, this decarbonization nonsense applies to, because you can rest assured there are tens of thousands of people at the hundreds of multinational companies and think tanks and governments that are all executing on each of these vectors. I mean, there is a veritable army of people implementing these things, running them through new regulations, new legislations, every day working tirelessly to enslave you. Let's put a stop to it. You can find this report and all of these links on iceagefarmer.com. I've posted the Absolute Zero paper with the swim lanes up at iceagefarmer.com/docs so that you can download it and share it and have this conversation with the people around you. Make them aware of what's going on, what it really means when they talk about global warming. You know, we talked about the past and the Club of Rome, but now we see how it's all come to fruition. And here we are now. It's all happening. A lot of these things were just in the last few weeks here. It's amazing. You can find this report then and all my reports directly at iceagefarmer.com. If you value this broadcast and this information and these efforts, help me keep it running. You can do that a few different ways listed at iceagefarmer.com/support, and I very genuinely appreciate your help in keeping this thing running. For now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go raise more animals. Let's go grow more food. Let's spread the word about these agendas and the underlying satanic anti-human agenda, and let's stop it. Thanks for watching, and be well.